So we are continuing our conversations with the candidates running for state senator in the Plymouth and Barnstable district. The primary is March 3rd with the special election on March 31st. And this is to fill the seat vacated by Vinnie DiMacedo, who accepted the job at Bridgewater State University. And welcome to Democrat Becky Coletta. Welcome.
Hi. Sorry, I got stuck a little bit on the road down.
Yes, we figured.
Becky, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run.
So I'm an attorney. I've gone back to get my master's in social work. I've worked in town government. I've worked in politics. I've been a member of Democratic Town Committee since 2003. I've worked on presidential campaigns. I've worked across the board. And after 2016, I think I realized that it wasn't enough to just work around the edges and do my part with community service and local organizing. But there's a lot of work to be done, particularly in our district, with having a strong voice for the issues and the values that I really care about. So when this seat became available, I stepped up pretty much immediately. Within 2 days of Vinnie announcing that he was taking the job, I filed with OCPF that I was in the race. And it's been like running a marathon at sprint pace ever since.
Climate change is a big issue on the minds of many voters. What ideas do you have for preparing for the impacts, in particular sea level rise?
So when I think about sea level rise, I look at some of the work I've done over the years. I was part of a coastal engineering firm that was based down in Louisiana. I was on the board and I was counsel to that company, one of the owners. We did post-disaster recovery work on Long Island, post-Sandy, and I have some idea of what happens when you have sea level rise, well, just when you have bigger storms. At that point, the sea level rise wasn't that bad, but it's a bigger storm. Superstorm Sandy was much bigger than we typically see up here, and I see what devastation it did to Long Island. So when I look at people doing coastal resiliency work around here, we really have to get our infrastructure ready for bigger storms with bigger rise. But beyond that, I've been talking to a lot of people who do, like there's one scientist who works for DEP who was explaining to me about sea level rise's impact on estuaries, on the salinity of the estuaries and how that's going to impact our watersheds and how that comes back into our drinking water. And, you know, we're already putting so much load on our watersheds with the nitrogen from our wastewater treatment and our septic systems that it's going to be a bigger and bigger issue. So yeah. It's something that all of the communities in our district are applying for municipal vulnerability grants. And I think that's just going to be something. My law partner is a state rep who's part of the Coastal Caucus. Actually, I think he's chairing the Coastal Caucus on the House of Representatives side. And that's something I'd want to be involved in to make sure that we stay on top of this, because I have seen the devastation in other places from the storms, and I'm concerned that they're going to be coming up here.
Yeah, one of the other things that you're proposing is this Mass Green New Deal. Tell us about that.
So actually, one of my other colleagues has been promoting that more than I have. But the issue with the Mass Green Deal is that we need to get to net zero. We need to get more green energy online. People talk about electrical vehicles and a lot of the work we can do to get to net zero, but it depends on us getting more renewable energy. And we know that's not so easy to do with wind power on shore. But if we can get Vineyard Wind and Mayflower Wind permitted by the feds, and if we can work on removing some of the limitations on our net metering caps, then we will drive jobs in the solar industry, and we will be driving the Green New Deal, because there will be a ton of jobs for both Vineyard Wind and for the solar industry if we can really get working on those. The other piece that people forget about with the Green New Deal is we think of something like Mass Save. So a big part of getting to net zero isn't just bringing new energy online. It's also about being more efficient in the way we use energy. And programs like Mass Save employ any number of people. I don't have the numbers, but it's a huge driver of employment when we look at insulation, lighting, new furnaces, all of the work, windows, all of the work that's done as part of Mass Save and similar programs to make us more efficient will also drive our economy if we can start to put a focus on it.
Water quality is an issue not only in this district, but in most coastal communities. Some thoughts on how we improve that kind of building locally?
So part of the issue with our water quality is the load we put on our watersheds, right? So we need to look at wastewater treatment systems a little more seriously. Down here in the Cape, you guys have something that we don't have in Plymouth County. You're looking at wastewater treatment on a regional basis, and we're not yet doing that on a watershed basis up in Plymouth County. So I'd like to see that come up to Plymouth County, where we're going to have more drinking water issues over time as we have more development. DEP has been putting into place a requirement that towns have backup wells and backup water supplies. I don't know if people realize that that's been happening over the last 15, 20 years, where they've really been forcing towns to drill more wells. But there's only so much water in the watershed. And if we're going to continue to build, people want more affordable housing, we have to make sure that we have protection for our watersheds, that we're not draining it for lawns, for things that aren't necessary for living.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number if you have a question for Becky Coletta. She's Democratic candidate for the Plymouth and Barnstable State Senate seat. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org.
One more thing about drinking water. There is a huge aquifer in Plymouth. And sort of, I think it goes over to Plymouth and Carver. And it's a huge resource for water. And I've been talking to some of the environmentalists about whether we could tap into that and protect the land over that so that the watershed is more protected. And the concern is that it's also sandy water. I mean, it's sandy ground. And if we start to take the water out of it, will it really change the ecosystem? So there's some thinking to do around that aquifer, which could be a great source of water for the region and for our district, but it also presents other environmental challenges. And whenever we look at environmental issues, there's this balance, right? Mm-hmm. Just like the ecosystem is balanced. So if we want to have more wind power, we have to balance that against the impact on public health. If we want to have more drinking water, we have to balance that against the impact on ecosystems and species and wildlife at the same time.
Another big issue, traffic, which yes, seems to get bigger every year. You propose expanding mass transit. So explain what you mean by expanding.
So let's start with regional transit. The state right now spends less than $90 million a year on regional transit from state funding. And that includes Brockton, Springfield, some fairly big cities that have pretty robust transit systems. So in terms of the state going in and saying, we're going to have regional transit, we haven't gotten really serious about that. So if you're in our district, you're fairly car dependent. You can try to cobble together some help from regional transit, but you're pretty car dependent even if you use regional transit sometimes. I was talking to one of the selectmen in Bourne who picked up someone on the side of the road who was coming back from a grocery store on a Saturday to one of the transitional housing places. And there was no local bus line on the weekends because they had to cut back on that service because of funding and lack of use. We need to do a much better job with regional transit and making that an option for people. Mm-hmm. And we also need to do a better job with commuter rail service. It just doesn't run late enough at night. It doesn't run frequently enough to make it a viable option for enough people. I would also like us to take another look at Cape Flyer and why it only can run on the weekends in the summer. There are a lot of people. I have a friend who spends a lot of time in Harwich and works remotely and really could just commute in a couple days a week. And I think there are a lot of people down on the Cape like that. And she would love to be able to go in a couple days a week on the Cape Flyer and not have the bus be really her only option. Her mother, years ago, when she worked in the city, would have to take the bus at like 4:30 in the morning and time shift to get back and forth from the Cape to the city. And there are people who are dependent on that route. And the fact that we only have buses and we don't have a train service, I understand there are real parking complications, But the impact of not having public transportation is so big on public health and on congestion and on our use of fossil fuels that we have to get serious about tackling that.
The opioid crisis continues to be just such a problem that we're working so hard to try to solve. What should we be doing more as we look to address this? What's your sense of this?
So it's funny because when we say opioid crisis, I don't think it's just the opioid crisis. And my concern is that we talk about it in terms of the opioid crisis and we forget that alcohol probably kills more people than opioids. And alcoholism and addiction is a bigger issue than just opioids. We made some slight progress in opioids in terms of overdoses in the last year, when you look at the CDC and when you look at mass statistics, but suicides were up. So it's not just opioids, it's a crisis of what people are calling the diseases of despair. Our life expectancy federally has gone down in the last 4 years. We had a slight uptick last year because we made some progress in opioid overdoses, but suicides were up. So between suicides, cirrhosis, and overdoses, life expectancy is going down. So these are huge impacts on our health and that we need to address. Senator Scheer has a parity bill that's going to get us closer to parity when it comes to behavioral health versus other medical issues. I don't want to say versus medical issues because behavioral health is a medical issue. Right. And it's so tempting to say parity means making it like other, you know, it's other medical issues, not like medical treatment. The other thing I'd like to see is more coordination of services. Right now you have funding silos. Some things are funded through DMH, some things are funded through DPH or insurance, and I'd like to see more coordination between those silos, starting at the state level, going all the way down. I'd like to see more programs like we're seeing in Plymouth County with the hub system, where the police officers and social service workers have come together and put together a hub system where they've had weeks of training, and they've done this over the last few years, where they're developing a system where they actually pool services. They have cases where they come in and talk to each other. And what's really interesting to me is to see how excited some of the police officers are about this. They see the need out there. They see the people overdosing. They see the people who need services, and they see the families that need services. And now they have a way to sort of pull together those services. It's called the Plymouth County Outreach and the hub system. And that's something worth following and worth backing.
Cost of living in this region is another thing that continues to rise. We find people, not only seniors struggling, but young people trying to, you know, buy their first home and have huge student loan debt. What are your thoughts on how we help make things more affordable?
Well, when we talk about 40Bs and affordable housing, it's not really that affordable. And so one of the things I do is I have a side business as a realtor. I have a brokerage. I'm actually the president of the Realty Guild, which is an association of independent real estate brokers throughout the state. And this is something that's true across the state. We don't have enough affordable housing. In our region, people are starting to build 40Bs, but we need to also look at workforce housing. I have a 40B resale right now, and the housing authority has set the price at $300,000 for a family of three based on a median income of $80,000. That's a pretty high salary for working people. So when we want to talk about workforce development, I think we have to go beyond 40B and look at building, you know, maybe smaller houses on smaller lots, looking at our zoning bylaws, looking at community preservation money to come in and build some real affordable housing, and trying to come up with some more creative ideas, because 40B won't get us there.
If you're elected, what would your top priority be as you head into office?
So my top priority is behavioral health, and I think the other thing is actually something we haven't talked about today, which is the Fair Share Amendment and trying to correct some of the imbalances in our economic system, and by asking those who make the most money in this state to pay a little bit more for the infrastructure that has really helped them to make that money. The Fair Share Amendment is a marginal tax of 4% on incomes over $1 million a year. If it passes at the State House one more time, then it goes to the ballot for the voters to pass. That money is set aside for education and transportation. the two systems that do help support businesses in this state, and it would allow us to receive about $2 billion a year in revenue to go back into those systems. Mm-hmm. We'd be talking about early childhood education. We'd be talking about college education cost. And more.
We just have about a minute left, so I'm going to let you pick something else that maybe we haven't asked you about that you'd like to talk about that sets you apart from the other candidates.
Well, I think what sets me apart from the other candidates is that I am looking to talk about values and not just about policies. I think that the region has become dominated by more conservative voices, and I think that we don't have enough people really talking about income inequality, wage stagnation, behavioral health, and the intersection of those issues with regional transit and transportation. It's a lens that you use, and that when you're talking to people, you say it's okay to talk about these things. It's not, yes, we're going to, I work with other legislators, my partner is a state rep. I understand what needs to get done to bring more regional equity and funding back to the district, but I think we also have to have that values conversation more and more frequently.
Thank you. Becky Coletta, Democratic candidate for the Plymouth and Barnstable State Senate seat. Primary coming up March 3rd with the special election March 31st. We'll have a link to this conversation along with the schedule of when we'll be speaking with all of the candidates running for the state Senate seat representing Plymouth and Barnstable at our website, capeandislands.org. Becky, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for waiting.
I'm Mindy Todd along with Steve Junker. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.